Let's pray together. Father, we just worship you and we praise you again. And we come into your presence seeking a word from you, wanting to hear your voice, O God, today. Unless we hear your voice, all is in vain. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak through me in a powerful way to bring change to our lives, to bring conviction, to bring us to the place where we should be, O God, as servants of you. Lord, open our eyes now that we might see wondrous things out of your law. Bless the ministry of the word to our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Exodus 21, beginning to read at verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. I want to begin this morning by considering really the Christian, the life that the Lord wants us to live. As you read through the book of Acts, you see the apostles living a Christian life on an extraordinary level. You see, first of all, the wonderful exploits that they are doing. They're going around and they are seeing amazing things happen. They are seeing changes wrought in people's lives. Even Peter on the day of Pentecost, that wonderful harvest of 3,000 souls. And Peter and John seeing the lame man healed at the beautiful gate. These are exciting things that they were seeing happen. And they are moving through their Christian lives, they're moving through their ministries at such a rate, and things are so exciting. Yet even in the times of difficulty, they are finding that they are in a place of rejoicing. We think of Paul writing to the Philippians, and he's in prison there, probably in Rome, and he's almost gurgling over with delight. He is so full of joy in that situation. And he's saying to them, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. He is living his Christian life on such a level that it is so satisfying in the work that he is doing for the Lord, but also his experience of God. You have such a level of joy that is to be found in the Lord. In 1 Peter 1, it speaks about us rejoicing in the Lord with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In Ephesians, it talks about being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so obviously the Christian life is meant to be lived on that level of such joy, and where we're sort of bubbling over with joy and such excitement at seeing God work. Now, in this passage that we've read from Exodus 21, it speaks about this Hebrew servant. He's a Hebrew slave, and he's working for another Hebrew, and he is bound to work for him for whatever reason. He's come into this slavery, and he's bound to work for him for these 6 years. But he comes to the end of his 6 years of service, and then the master is told that he must release the servant, and the servant can go out free. And he can live his own life, he can do what he wants. But here we find that the servant also has a choice. And if he says, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I don't want to lose them, I do not want to go out free, then he can stay with the master and he can be his servant, his slave forever, for the rest of his life. Now, no doubt this happened some of the time. But the man who would have said that would have made a particular decision in his life, and he's looked out to the world outside, and he's seen the sort of life that he could live, a life where he is just free to please himself. He could be out in that place where he can earn his own money, have his own livelihood, his own business, perhaps be a farmer, whatever it is. But he has freedom to do whatever he wants. And yet he's made the choice that he's going to stay with his master. And he so much loves his master, and he so much loves the family that his master has given him, that he said, I would rather be there in my master's house serving him than going out and just pleasing myself. Now, what that servant will have done is come to the place where he has found such joy and such delight in his master's household, in his master's presence, in his own family, that anything outside in the world would fail to satisfy in comparison. And so I want to ask us this morning, where does our delight really lie? Does it lie in the house of our master, the household of our master, the kingdom of God? Or are we looking, always looking out into the world to find delight in the world, to find delight in things that are outside of God? As we're seeing in Acts and so forth, there was so much life that was meant to be in the Christian life. But sometimes we fail to see that, and we start to reach out and we start to seek after other things that are to be found in the world rather than finding what delights us in the kingdom of God. And yet I believe that we have a choice as to where we find our life, where we find that which satisfies. You see, the Hebrew servant had his 6 years which he had to serve, and then there was the seventh year. And if we think that we are allotted a lifespan of 70 years, that would be a tenth. And in a sense, all of us, as we've been saved, we are expected to do a measure of work for the Lord. We are expected at least to tithe our time to the Lord. And all of us as Christians will be serving the Lord to some extent. But I believe there comes this choice for us where the Lord says, okay, well, you're saved, your sins are forgiven, you are given your freedom, and now you are able to choose what you do with your time. And you can now spend your time just, as it were, in freedom, and you can live your own life and just do things that largely please you. Yes, giving your 10% to me, but you have that freedom to choose to just have a pleasant life like that. Or, I believe he says to us, we can choose to find all our joy and all our life within the kingdom of God. And instead of looking for that pleasure outside in just our own lives and that freedom and the things of the world, to sacrifice that and say, I'm going to find all my joy and all my delight in the things of God and in serving him. You see, this servant, in becoming a lifelong servant, was saying that I am now going to find all my joy in my master's house, so that when my master's household prospers, that is the thing that brings me joy. That is the thing that brings me delight. You find an echo of this in Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son, and where the younger son has gone away and chosen, as it were, the temporary freedom. The older son has chosen to stay at home. And in a sense, the older son is maligned for his attitude to the repentant younger son. But the father, when the older son complains, says, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And that was the position of the older son when he was living at home. as one who is being faithful to his father and one who was just wanting to serve, his delight, his joy was meant to be just in the building up of the family business. And he says, I was never given as much as a kid to make merry. I never had that time when I was just enjoying myself, when I was just partying. He was saying, I've put all my time, I've put all my labor, all my energy into the family farm, into the estate. I haven't pleased myself. And really what the father was saying, well, this is your inheritance. Everything here is available to you. And whereas the younger son was someone who was going out and he was seeking just to please himself, yet the older son was remaining at home and he was seeking to be faithful. And yet there came a time in his life when, perhaps seeing what his younger brother had done, he started to grow weary in well-doing and started perhaps just to open his eyes to see that there were other things in the world that he could seek after. But I wonder, what is our position today? Where do we want to find our joy? Do we want to find all our life and everything that satisfies us within the kingdom of God, in serving God, in knowing him in a deeper way? Or are we in any way looking beyond the things of God for our satisfaction? Now, I believe that when we are in that position where we have gone to God and said, I love you, I love the things of your kingdom, and I want this to be the totality of my life, I believe then the Lord gives us a special power and a special authority to serve him. If you imagine that servant, before he had given himself totally to his master, if he was going on an errand for his master, how seriously would people have taken him? Well, they say, yes, he represents his master. But in a couple of years, or in a few months, or however long it was left, he will have his freedom. So he's serving the master, but on, as it were, a temporary basis. And people might not have taken his word that seriously when he went out representing his master. But when the man had given himself completely to his master as a lifelong slave, and he went out representing his master, anyone hearing what he said would take him very seriously, because he was someone who had given himself completely to his master. And I believe as a result of that, his words would have carried such authority, such weight, that people would have listened. And I believe it's the same for us, that when we are a people who are given completely to God, and the things of God are those things that fill our lives, and we're no longer spending our time on the things outside, they're no longer satisfying, we will have a power and an authority to speak to people, and they will listen, because in a new way we are representing God. In a new way we are standing for God as complete slaves, lifelong slaves. And yet we have this choice. We have this choice, I believe, how we want to spend our lives. And I wonder, are we willing to sacrifice those other earthly pleasures in order that the things of God might completely fill us, that the things of God might satisfy us completely, that we might no longer have eyes for anything else, but that we might say, I love my master, I will not go out free. And I want all that God has to fill me. I want the power of God to fill me, so that as I go out, I'm speaking with that authority, that it's simply God filling my life and nothing else. We find this to be true of the Lord Jesus. We find in Psalm 40, it has an echo of Exodus 21. This is speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus. It's echoed in and confirmed to be about the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 10. But Psalm 40 in verse 6 says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And we may ask in a sense, why did the Lord Jesus have such authority when he spoke to people? Well, I believe one of the reasons is that he was that servant with a pierced ear. He had given himself completely to obedience to his father. Where it says, mine ears hast thou opened, it really means my ear have you pierced. You've gone with it all and pierced through my ear, making me a lifelong slave, one who is completely given over to your things. And so we see the Lord Jesus ministering. And because he was one who said, I do always those things that please the Father, he was able to serve God with that extraordinary authority and that extraordinary power. And yet this is also, I believe, the inheritance to us if we are willing to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus and to be completely given over to him. So I wonder, what does it mean to really be in that place where our ear is pierced before the Lord? Well, I believe that it really means forsaking all earthly pleasures and coming to the place where all our life is consumed with serving the Lord, where his kingdom is the thing that we are only really concerned about, where his kingdom is the thing, is the place where we find our joy and find our life. It's interesting being in Christian ministry, and I have contact with other people in Christian ministry, and I go down to CLC Wholesale, and the man in charge of that will talk to me, and if my ministry helps his ministry, he says thank you. Well, that's just being polite, but he's not getting anything out of it. He has this ministry that he's in charge of, and yet he counts that ministry as if it's his own. That ministry has, as it were, taken over his life. It's filled it. His time, his energy is filled with that ministry. It's a microcosm. It's a small example of the whole of the kingdom of God filling our lives. And so he says, thank you for helping my ministry. But he's not personally getting anything out of it. But he, like that servant, has said, I want the house of my master to be the thing that I care about now. And I wonder, are we willing to come to that place where we find all our joy and all our life in what pleases God? It's the thing that really pleases us above everything, seeing the lost saved, seeing the saints built up. Or do we say, well, that's what I do in my tithe for the Lord, but really my joy is found in television or these other activities where I'm really made happy in socializing, in all these other things. I wonder if the reason why the church is weak is because so many are living in this position where it's my tent for God, but the rest for me, rather than being so consumed with the life of God as the apostles were, going about their business. That was their whole life, wasn't it? As they went around and they were just so concerned about seeing the kingdom of God extended. And I believe that's the reason why they had that tremendous power, because that's all they cared about. Now, it's a curious thing. You cannot be hungry unless you've been without food for some period of time. And if you are constantly eating, you're never hungry. And really, we cannot have a hunger for the things of God, for spiritual things, unless we have emptied ourselves of the other things. We may say, well, I don't really have a concern for the lost. I don't really have a desire for the kingdom of God. But I believe when we've come to that place where we have forsaken everything else, then in our hearts we will have such an aching, such a hunger, that it has to be filled with something, and then it will start to be filled with a passion for souls, a passion for the kingdom of God. There has to be, as it were, some kind of, as it were, inner pain that causes us to care for the lost. And when we are satisfied already with the things of the world, we cannot have that sort of painful caring for the lost out there. But when we come before the Lord and say, right, I'm going to lay aside these things in order that I might serve you, there will be a hunger, a deep down hunger in our hearts, and we will start to want to fill that with the things concerning the kingdom of God. And that will drive us to prayer, it will drive us to evangelism, because we've got nothing left. And we see this in the life of the Lord Jesus, how in Philippians 2 it speaks about how he emptied himself. He made himself no reputation, but literally he emptied himself. And having emptied himself of that divine glory, all the things that, as it were, he had in heaven, he came to earth. And I believe that's another reason why he was able to go about showing compassion, because he had laid that aside, and he was there, and he was, as it were, hungry to do the will of the Father. You find in John 4, when he's been speaking with the woman at the well of Sychar, that the disciples are surprised that he's not hungry. And he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. His meat, the thing that satisfied him then, was the doing the will of the Father, was doing that work. And he, being hungry, having laid aside the glory, yet he was being satisfied by serving God. And I wonder, are we in that position where we are finding our satisfaction in serving God? And I wonder if we're not, whether we've really laid aside all those things of the earth in order that we might have that hunger and have that desire to serve God and God alone. I wonder if it's really possible to care unless it has cost us first. Sometimes we say that we don't show that we care, or we don't really care unless it costs us. For example, in giving to missionaries or whatever, we may feel that we are not really showing that we care unless our giving is costing us. But I believe that we do not really care until we start to pay a cost, because it hasn't affected us. It hasn't touched us. But I believe that when we come to that position where we have allowed it to cost us something, where it has started to become painful, then we have the ability to care. We have the ability to touch the lives of others. And I wonder if we could say that this could be true of God as well. I mean, God is infinite. He is in need of nothing. But was there some sense in which it had to cost him, it had to cause him pain, in order for him fully to be able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities? We find this brought out in Hebrews and chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. I wonder, was there something that needed to happen in the heart of the Lord Jesus, in the heart of God, that would enable him to minister to us in a different way? And that could only happen by him being caused pain, by him suffering with us. You have the same thing brought out later on, where it says in chapter 5 and verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And so there was some aspect in which the suffering of Christ brought him into closer contact with us, and how the laying aside of his glory enabled him to minister to us, and as he walked on earth, to care in that yet more passionate way, which perhaps he couldn't have done if he had held on to all those attributes, all those things of Godhead, all the glory. And so we have, as it were, this truth, which is in some ways hard for us, in which God would like us to give up all these pleasures of the earth, things that are in some ways harmless, that we are just enjoying, and he's calling us to give them up in order that we might have a passion for souls. But as I was saying earlier from Luke 15, the kingdom that we are serving is not a kingdom of God that is distant from us. The kingdom of God that we are serving is a kingdom that we have bought into, as it were. It's a kingdom that we are a part of. And in serving God and in serving the kingdom and wanting to see the kingdom built up, we are seeing something built up that we are part of. And that elder brother, as he was seeing the family estate built up, and he was day by day finding his joy in the prospering of that, he was seeing something that was his being built up. It was not just his father's estate, but it was his estate as well. And we are told in Romans 8 that we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And so we are joint heirs with Christ, and the kingdom that we are building up is something that we will be a part of, something that we will enjoy for all eternity. But the question comes down to this. I wonder, are we willing to bring ourselves into that position where we are willing to lay aside all these earthly pleasures in order that we might serve God, in order that we might have the power of God within us, and that all our delight is found in that? And there will be a sense of a tearing of the flesh, there will be a sense of pain if we want to give up these things in order to serve the Lord, but the results will be tremendous. Hebrews and chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing ye also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He had that joy set before him that enabled him to lay aside everything, to empty himself in order to serve God. And I wonder, will this be true of us, that we're willing to say to God, I love you, I love your kingdom, I love serving you, and I'm willing to lay aside all that is outside, everything else that might have satisfied me, in order that I might have more of you, and in order that my service of you might be more profound. As our lives are so short, we only have a limited time to serve the Lord. I wonder, will we come to that place where everything is forsaken, that the power of God might be seen, that it might be demonstrated in us, that we might be overflowing with the life of God, that truly the things of God will satisfy? And let me just say again, if we're in the position today where we say that the things of God are not satisfying, I wonder, have we laid aside everything else? If we're not hungering after the things of God today, have we laid aside everything else that God might fill us? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that the things of your kingdom do satisfy us. Lord, when we walk with you, when we know your presence, when we serve you, when we see you working through us, Lord, we are so blessed and we find such delight in it, Lord. But we acknowledge that there are often things in our lives that we hold on to, that we want to hold in train with the things of you. And we pray, O God, that you would cause us to lay aside everything, that you might have your rightful place in our hearts. Lord, as you have given to us freedom, you've given us the power to choose, yet we pray, Lord, that you would cause us to yield everything. O God, that you might fill us in a new and a yet more powerful way, that we would be so filled with your Spirit that we are able to go out and preach to the lost in such a way that they are saved and that they turn to you. O God, and we acknowledge that we need your grace, we need your help in order for this to happen. And Lord, we plead your mercy that you would bring us to the place where we should be in our generation, where we are serving you with such a zeal, O God, unknown of before, where as we see the weakness in the church, Lord, and the immorality in the world, Lord, that we might be the people that we ought to be, able to serve you with everything that we are, with all of our being, Lord, willing to hold nothing back, O God, that everything might be given up to you, Lord, that it might all be yours, O God, when you gave everything for us in order to purchase our salvation, how can we hold things back and say, this is for me, these 9/10 are for me,
and 1/10 for you. Oh God, cause us to be faithful to you. Cause us to yield everything to you, as is our duty. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are so gracious to us. But Lord, in our day of difficulty, cause us to be faithful to you, to yield what we should to you, that you might have the preeminence in our heart. Oh God, we give you praise for all that you are. Lord, that you set in such an example for us to follow. Lord Jesus, that there was nothing held back. Lord, that you yielded everything in order that we might be redeemed. Oh God, we seek you for your grace and your mercy in a deeper way in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Perhaps we could sing 542 in Redemption Hymnal, 542. I love my Master, I will not go out free, for he is my Redeemer. He paid the price for me, I would not leave his service, it is so sweet and blessed. And in the weariest moments, he gives the truest rest. 542.